Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Thank you for joining us for another Taking It Back. It's been a while, guys. How you been?
Well. Oh, you know, man, it's always good to get back together. And life takes you places, but that's life. So
it kind of feels a bit like a Beatles reunion tour, doesn't it?
Yeah.
30 years later, we're coming back to get the band together.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Oh, man, let's just do it. Let's just sing the whole damn thing together. Oh, man.
Now I need a place to hide away.
We'll do it right here.
That's it.
We'll do it live.
Addle, you get the next stanza.
Oh no, man. If I start singing, all the viewers leave immediately. So.
Addle, do you sing in your car? Do you sing in the shower? Is there a place where you do let loose?
In my truck, if I'm by myself and I'm feeling it, for sure. You know.
And if you're really feeling inspired and you want to belt one, what is a song that you would belt in private?
Oh man. Anything by Sublime, probably. I would say
Mississippi when the sun beats down.
Absolutely, man. That, yeah, anything that Bradley sings, I get down with pretty hardcore. So
you know what I think you would like? I was listening, one of my old Pantera, not Pantera, sorry, Sublime, you just said it. I was on Pandora. Okay. I was on Pandora maybe about 2 years ago during the summertime. And I just wanted, you know, I was doing work around the yard and I just wanted something that was seasonal, beachy sounding, whatever. So I was going between, you know, Beach Boys radio on Pandora. And I said, you know what, let me find Sublime. I'm sure that's going to get me some good, things I never heard before. And 2 years ago in the summer, maybe two or three, I don't know, might be three, is when I found this artist called Stick Figure. Have you ever listened to him?
Dude, I'm going in July 24th.
Yeah,
and 25th. I'm traveling to Colorado to Red Rocks to see him play two shows. Like, I'm so excited,
dude. Zach, have you ever heard Stick Figure?
I've never heard Stick Figure, but Red Rocks is a pretty good venue to travel across the country to go to. I've been there a few times.
Lauren and I have been just monitoring this guy's tour schedule. It's always sold out. We love that sound. It looks like such a fun kind of show to go to. Is this your first time seeing him?
I've never seen him. I've been collecting his albums on vinyl for years now. I've been a big fan of Stick Figure for a while. I've never gotten the opportunity to actually see live. I was just kind of on the interwebs and I saw a flyer for his Red Rock show this year. And I hit up one of my good buddies who's also a big fan. And I was like, God, we got to go. Because neither one of us has ever seen a show out there or seen him live. So it was just like, we got to go do this. So I bought tickets for both nights. I got reserve tickets the first night and general admission the second night. And I'm so excited, man. It's going to be an awesome experience.
Zach's got to dip into this. I think
I was going to say, which album should I download?
You know what? Go to the first song I heard. And then it was just like, give me everything you got in this guy. Or is the song Weary Eyes?
Yeah,
Weary Eyes.
Listen, you just listen to Weary Eyes, and then from there, your journey will begin. It's good. Other than that, yeah, that's it. Right. I could ask you guys about core memory music videos, but maybe we'll save that for the end. How are you enjoying all of the free entertainment off of college campuses these days?
That's great. I love it, man. Yeah, I've been getting down the last couple of days.
Finally, something we don't have to pay for.
Yeah, right?
Well, I guess we are, actually.
Oh, yeah.
We are paying for it.
I mean, technically, the kids whose parents are paying the tuition at these universities, they're going to be the ones that are paying for it. I mean, I guess until the moment that they send the National Guard in, if they do. But yeah. I'm sure you guys saw it. Northwestern capitulated. They're giving full ride scholarships to Palestinian students, and they're guaranteeing employment to Palestinian academics.
How can you guarantee employment?
I don't know, but I mean, you know, I was thinking the same thing yesterday. Like, they're going to reach like market saturation at a certain point, and then I guess they're going to have to get rid of the TAs and just have these people, like, you know, taking tests and stuff like that.
Now, when you say employment, is that okay? Well, come here, full ride. You can study whatever the hell you want, and upon you know, graduating, we're going to make sure that you have a job as a barista somewhere until you find something.
Are they
guaranteeing employment within the field of study?
They're guaranteeing employment at the university within whatever field they are majored in. Now, I'm not certain that the kids who are getting the full ride scholarships are guaranteed employment once they graduate, but Palestinian academics that are actively seeking employment right now are guaranteed employment. So there you go.
I'm half Palestinian. I missed out. I feel
let's move to Chicago. Let's do
You're not the right kind of Palestinian.
What's that?
You're not the right kind of Palestinian.
Just throw a kefir on or something. You'll be good.
We're talking about subcategories of people that can be turned into props in a play. It's incredible what's going on right now. Can you imagine? I opened a lot last night because I saw but right before I went live last night, I saw the CBS article talking about Joe Biden or his handlers discussing a situation where there should be a refugee program. And again, just to think about this cycle, this unending cycle, wherever they employ this idea, first they go and destroy a country. I think that every Palestinian out there, as well as every Israeli out there who is conscious, understands where all the money is coming from, where all the bombs are being made, all that stuff. Despite the billing on the conflict being Israel versus Palestine, everybody knows where the money and the bombs are coming from. So, like clockwork, we destroy a Middle Eastern country, a North African country, something or other. We half sink an island somewhere. And then all the people whose lives we destroyed, we offer to transport them 6,000 miles west into the center of transgender land. Hmm. and say, come on, build a life over here. We'll take you in. That's so gross. That's so gross. Yeah. I mean, it's just
happening. It kind of has the same ring as like when you treat a girl like shit and then you invite her to move in with you because you feel bad about it. And then you just continue to beat her once she's there and then like wipe her tears from her eyes and buy her a dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty perfect.
Or, I mean, not that I've ever experienced that, but
or the girl, your girl, or your man treats you like shit, and then their pimp asks you to move in with them. You know, it's just there, like, it's such a weird thing, and of course, it only makes sense to people who are half asleep. To the average American sucker, something like that would make sense if we weren't already if our consciousness wasn't already dominated by the fact that you look around and there's just the migration issue. I think people see now that when it makes impacts on your personal life, all of the politics, all of the leeway, the slack we had of having political debates years ago, that's all gone. Illegal immigration. We had the comfort of being able to have a political debate about that and being compassionate and humane. Now that people see it in their backyard, all over the place, suburbia, or urban America, all that's gone. So the
other side of this is, for obviously Northwestern, as far as I know, is the only university that has met the demands of these protesters. For the Palestinian or for the pro-Palestinian students that have been expelled from other places, I believe like UCLA and Columbia perhaps even has started actually expelling people. I don't know about Fordham. And there's so many other places, like it's still active. But for those expelled students, the Ayatollah has just offered positions to them in Iran. And it'll be really interesting if they take them up on that and then go to Iran and try that bullshit over there, because they're going to get stomped. They're not even going to give them a shot. I mean, as soon as they start marching, they'll probably be mowed down by some vintage AK-47s. It's going to be a very different scenario.
They would never take that deal, because as we saw from the failed public relations girl that came out and asked for assurances of humanitarian aid, they wanted a pallet of oatmeal and ramen noodles dropped into them over there in Colombia. They wanted a helicopter to drop a pallet of ramen noodles. Finance. I couldn't believe, like, they want to play the, it's all a play.
It is. It's a revolutionary LARP. Here's the thing, though. They were very clear. They didn't just want the same old shit they got on their meal plan every day in the CAF, Frank. They were requesting vegan food. They were requesting gluten-free food. No bananas, no bagels, no nuts, you know, all of the things that are staples in college.
I saw no coffee, too.
Yeah, no coffee. I was like, that's kind of weird. I mean, I guess they want Starbucks delivered. It's, they just don't want the same old garbage that they're going to get in the CAF.
But I didn't understand. Did you make it? I'm looking for this list now, because it was sent to me, but I didn't do anything with it.
I saw it last night. Yeah.
The no list was very odd.
It was.
Because why would you say no to coffee, to bananas? That's vegan, right?
Oh, it's because those are the staples in a college cafeteria. Have you ever been into like a college caf? Like, you go in there and like those are the things that are always there. If you're hungry, you walk in there, there's going to be a pile of bagels. There's going to be a pile of bananas. There's always going to be coffee. There's always going to be nuts. So those are the things that like would be very easy for the university to come and deliver to them. By requesting gluten-free and vegan food, they are guaranteed that it's going to be freshly prepared, and they know that it's not going to be, you know, adulterated in some way.
It's like that old McDonald's trick. You guys were probably told this years ago too. Hey, if you want the fresh fries, you got to go in there and request without salt.
Yep.
They put the salt on everything, so they're going to have to fry you up some fresh fries. You add the salt yourself, it's going to be piping hot.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely heard that one before.
The negotiating tactic.
<Yeah. laughs> So, you know, the other cool part is, you know, obviously President Trump, you know, talking about the fact that a lot of these protesters are paid agitators. I mean, we've known that. At Columbia, the police actually released video of one of those paid agitators. I don't remember her name. It's like Lisa Fanian or something like that. But she's been around like, you know, like a known quantity since at least Occupy Wall Street. And she pretty much shows up every time. And she's like literally on set directing these kids and what to do and how they're supposed to blockade. And, you know, she's like, oh, I can't help you. You're going to have to do it. Like, she's been arrested so many times. At this point, she knows how to make sure she doesn't get arrested. But, you know, even Eric Adams in New York, you know, he's like, you know, a lot of these people who were arrested are not even students here. So, you know, the thing is that you don't need like a ton of paid agitators. You just need like, I don't know, maybe like one for every 20 to 30 real students. And, you know, those strong personalities, those people that are wearing the masks, that are actually breaking windows out, you know, that's going to be enough for those lemmings to just follow along and do whatever they feel they're supposed to do. Like, I'm sure you saw the video of those girls who were like, we're here to fight for, what are we fighting for?
Yeah.
I wish I was more educated. Why are we out here?
Yeah. Oh, you're actually out there because you're actually at college because you wanted to get educated. You mm-hmm. understand? Yeah. Hey, and to your point, Zach, I responded a little bit to the Eric Adams news there too. I think the headline was that Eric Adams claimed that radicalization was making its way into New York City.
For the first time, it finally reached us.
You think that your city is being infiltrated by radicals right now? I mean, the seeds have been laid. I mean, when you think about this, you know, to what you're saying right there, it doesn't take a lot. When you have built up a tinderbox scenario like this, when you have invested in worldviews and you've invested in local and international policies that really demonize logical thinking, that prioritize victimhood, that prioritize intersectionality, that prioritize the progressive stack where people are oppressors or they are now in the new privileged class, that government only serves a few and government is, and on the other hand, other people are designated to fund the government that serves only a few. Mm-hmm. When you live in a world like that, it is nothing but resentment by those who are now getting shafted by policy standard, and also resentment by those who are being cultured into thinking that they should have a chip on their shoulder because they were born into a caste system that they can't get out of and they can't navigate without there being some kind of a pacifier put in their mouths. So when you have this situation where everybody feels like they have the perception of being oppressed or actually are now by state mandate being oppressed, then all you need is a small handful of people to light that spark in the lint tray. You know, it's like dryer lint over there. You just, one spark is all it takes. So it's, you say, oh, it's being infiltrated. There's outside agitators. I'm sure. But you only need a handful because your city's fucking nuts.
That's a great point. You know, I was so confused about, you know, because I agree there are outside agitators. These are obviously, there's a lot of stuff being, a lot of resources being put into these protests. And it's always the same characters, like the George Soros's of the world, who typically, you know, promote left-leaning politicians or agendas. And this seemed to really be like dividing the left in a lot of ways and kind of like having them kind of eat their own. I was wondering, like, what the hell, why would you be doing this in an election year, pissing off, you know, major populations in swing states like Minnesota or Michigan, you know, against the current administration. And then it kind of came into focus today. I don't know if you guys saw this anti-Semitism law that was passed.
Ugh.
So it all makes perfect sense now. Like this was the prerequisite to a major attack on free speech, right? Like they're trying to set a precedent, or this is how they're trying to get a hate speech law, essentially anti-First Amendment law passed in a Republican controlled house. That's kind of what I look at this all as the long way to taking a huge, huge swing at our First Amendment.
Yeah, well, it's so fine focused, though. I mean, I know it creates, it's illegal. You can't abridge speech in any way, shape, or form. It's 100% illegal. But the fine focus being on anti-Semitism is really something breathtaking. I mean, I brought this up last night. I was talking to Matt Christensen for a little bit. You guys remember in 2017 after Hurricane Harvey, Texas was at least debating, if not made it a law. I don't know, but it was very relevant and it was real that they wanted to pass an anti-Semitism bill to make sure that people, communities, especially people, would be barred from any kind of federal relief for, you know, disaster relief if they were a part of any kind of boycott against Israel. They'd be barred from getting hurricane relief. So you're the government that you fund would skip over you in the middle of a national disaster if you ever said anything disparaging about Israel. I mean, it's and here's the other thing here too. We have a situation right now where people are using physical violence against each other, and you're going out there and you're not arresting and breaking up the violence. You're not taking people. I don't care if you debate Israel-Palestine relations all day long. In fact, the college campus in America used to be the place where these kinds of controversial debates can hash themselves out. But the fact that you allow the violent rabble to do what they want in all cities every year or whatever the hell the cause is, whether it be 2020 or 2024, you allow this shit to go on far too long. And the only official response, even though there's no authority for Congress to respond in the first place, the only official response is to make it harder for people to actually have debates. You're saying that now if you even had the debate peacefully on campus, you couldn't even criticize Israel to a sufficient degree.
Yeah.
It's incredible what we live under.
It is incredible. And again, it starts with anti-Semitism, but I look at that as a Trojan horse, again, you know, for the entire idea of hate speech and outlawing hate speech in general and getting to a point where you can show up to someone's house and find them or arrest them for for expressing an opinion, essentially. And then the other side of that, it drives me nuts, absolutely insane, when people hide behind anti-Semitism when discussing Israel. Like, Israel's a country, not a religion. I understand it is a Jewish state, but that does, like, you could have major criticism for the behavior of a state without having hatred in your heart for a religion or the people of that state, right? So there's so many angles to this that's so incredibly frustrating. And again, I feel like this whole thing of these protests and, you know, how they're paid and organized and they create this outrage, and then all of a sudden today, like 312 to 90 or something like that, this bill passes in the House, this anti-Semitism law, which,
well, this is also an opportunity for the spineless slugs that comprise the Republican Party to fall over themselves to draft something like this, because of course they get hit over the head with the anti-Semitism cudgel constantly. If they're the ones that, and they still think that carrying water for bills like this is going to exonerate them, is going to immunize them from accusations in the future when the left uses anti-Semitism as a weapon of their own. You know, right now the left is more so hard line aligned with the Black Lives Matter Antifa contingent that is co-opting Palestine. Okay. That's mm-hmm. what they are right now. But Republicans, on the other hand, they're just so pathetic. They're so fucking pathetic. It's the fact that this is what they do. And yeah.
You know, it's funny to me, the anti-Semitism trope. I mean, it's a regional thing. So there's Semitic peoples that are both Jewish and also Palestinian. So yeah. If you're anti-Semitic, you know, it's like that Civil War trailer, you know, like, we're Americans. What kind of Americans? I'm anti-Semitic. What kind of anti-Semitic? You know, which one is it that you're upset with?
Well, you know, and to your point right there, Zach, which ties into Adel's point before about it's not that you have hatred in your heart for a person who belongs to a religion because you are criticizing a nation state in the Middle East.
Okay? Exactly. Yeah.
It's not. But to take that a step farther, there are many people out there who do have hatred in their hearts for Judaism as a religion. And even that is completely legal and acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
When they take that premise into a public debate, and when they are trying to state their case for the court of public opinion, that is going to weigh heavily on what kind of inroads they make to people who are trying to make sense of the situation. When they see a person that is driven by, you know, collective hate of one thing or whatever, if that really comes through in their testimony, then that is just going to be credit or discredit to a person's reputation. And it's going to make it harder for them to make inroads to people. And there you have, you only have one reputation. This is the free market of ideas. That's what it's all about. You have to take control of yourself, and you have to understand what you're putting out there. And that's why the hate speech laws are absolutely ridiculous.
Because, so what's actually the basis for this legislation they passed?
I think it's really just pathetic, unconstitutional political pandering.
I mean, that's like obvious, but I mean, like, what did they say in the bill? Like, what are they trying? Like, are they just like demonizing like the idea that people on college campuses are saying anti-Semitic things? Or are they decrying it? Are they actually trying to outlaw it?
So here's a little article about it. And basically it's being passed on the definition of anti-Semitism based on the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Yeah, so the IHRA. So it says anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews, rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities.
So that means all of the big nose memes You can't do any of the memes with the big nose. You can't do the Grabbler memes. That would be shut it down. You can't shut it down anymore.
Here's a list of things that I guess are going, they're trying to make illegal if they're using this website or this definition. So calling or aiding or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. So I guess, I mean, that would make sense. You can't really incite violence. That's not really protected
speech. But I mean, you can't do that anyways against anybody. Like, why do they need a special section carved out?
It's the same reason you had the anti-lynching bill, right? I mean, it was already illegal to hang somebody. Like,
yeah. Oh, shit, man. We had plans on Friday.
Oh, yeah. And here's what they call it. I have seen a number of legal pundits actually say this. They will talk about hate speech laws as an enhancement. So as Zach said, plotting, conspiring for violence, committing violence, criminal harassment, whatever the hell it is, we're talking about crimes that are already there.
Yeah,
those are crimes from one human to another. They're crimes. The fact that you can enhance a crime because it happens to be motivated. Who cares what it's motivated by? Who cares? Uh-huh. You think somebody who commits a crime against you likes you? Who cares why they don't like you?
That's such a good point.
Oh, God, it feels so much worse because of my international heritage.
You know, it just there's something that just feels like this is worse than the average crime that's been committed against me.
I can't help it. This is a special, special crime you're committing against me.
For some reason, it feels worse than before.
Here's some more of what's in this definition. So two, making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as especially but not exclusively the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions.
Oh my God, they did it. They fucking did it. This bill,
if there was not a myth or a conspiracy theory before, it exists.
Oh my God.
All right, got more here. Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even acts committed by non-Jews.
Wow. Like, so you can't say stop acting Jewish now? Somebody's careful, they're coming for you. I mean, like, you know, this is absolutely insane that they would do this, that they would actually pass this. I mean, you know what it is? It's like every single group on earth is getting their own cutouts, except for white Europeans. Like you know, they're going to call me everything but a white man and a colonizer, and they're going to get away with it, even though it hurts. It hurts my soul because my relatives never owned slaves, but that doesn't matter because of the color of my skin.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Denying the facts, scope, mechanisms, like gas chambers or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II. So denying the Holocaust would now be.
Wow. But it's totally okay to deny what the modern day Nazis in Ukraine are doing under the banner of the Azov Battalion.
Yeah.
That's not real. That doesn't exist. That's a conspiracy.
And again, the more time goes on, and the more that you see that there's just something not right about the official story, not to even go as far as to say that people weren't murdered and people didn't die. Like if you say, you know, there's something about September 11th, 2001, there's a few big things I just can't wrap my head around. Does that mean that 3,000 people didn't die that day? Does it mean that you're dishonoring them for wondering what the hell was going on, what the motivation was, and what their death served as a means to an end for, which end? You know, it's these kinds of things that as time goes on, I'm not even talking about the Holocaust right now, as time goes on and we see conspiracies, we see things that are playing out on a global level, man, There's plenty you could say about COVID that made me go back and reconsider what the hell was going on during the AIDS crisis, because it's the same exact people. It's the same testing modalities. It's really incredible where the cure was worse than the disease in many ways, with AZT and everything like that. It's like the more you pay attention, the more you realize that there may be no rules as to how big a lie can be. And even if it's a big event with tiny little lies and misdirections built inside of it, you know, but what they're trying to do is make it illegal for you to ask questions about anything. And that is always going to, you know, it's always going to stoke suspicion. Always.
I mean, here's another one that'll stoke suspicion right here, Frank. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interest of their own nations. So,
wow,
dual citizenship of members of Congress. Well, that's
exactly. Wow. I was just talking shit about that this weekend. I'm glad I got it in under the wire.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's it. George Washington would want nobody to have dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know? Although right now I'm looking into, I heard that I think within 3 or 4 generations of your parents or somebody in your family emigrating here to the United States from Italy, I can get citizenship there or something. Oh, like I can get an Italian passport easier. I was like thinking about it. Let's think about that for a second.
You might need to get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they have any, you know, they are suffering under the migrant invasion and all that stuff too. But the one thing that Italy still has is they have local culture that is vibrant.
Yeah. And Maloney is based. I'll give her that.
Vibrant yeah. culture. We have been screwed out of culture. Yeah. I don't know. Like as a friend of mine would say, I don't know who's Jew and who at this point.
I mean, I got to be honest. I could give a shit to be heard for perfect
news. This is the big one. Number 9 is the big one.
It's in bold here. Using symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, like claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis.
Listen.
Classic.
I mean, the Sanhedrin had him killed. They essentially hired Roman hitmen. They killed him. Now, I honestly, you can say that that was the, if that's not the biggest body of, at the time, Jewish governmental decision making. I mean, I don't know, but it's just incredible. So, parts of the Bible are now you cannot talk about them.
That's crazy. This whole thing is insane. And again, It doesn't pass, I don't think, with this kind of overwhelming support without having all of these protests and all of this stuff going on. It feels like I don't know if the Hegelian dialectic is the right word exactly. I don't know.
I'd say that's it. Problem, reaction, solution. Yeah. Here we go.
But it's like it's the exact same thing as that anti-lynching bill. Like you had Jesse Smollett come out and give his little song and dance. And then, you know, then they do this anti-lynching bill, which again was completely absurd. And then that turns out that was all bullshit. But I mean, this feels the exact same way. It's like you have these protests, and I'm wondering why is the left funding something that's so divisive within their own party during an election year? And then this bill comes out. I'm like, oh. Because this is how you get Republicans to turn against what's typically a conservative value of free speech. And here you have it, the vast majority of Republicans voting to pass this bill, which sets a very dangerous precedent.
Listen, you know who should be exceptionally scared about this? Are American Jews. I mean, if I were an American who happens to be Jewish, I would see this and say, man, this is not going to make anything easier for us. What the hell are you doing? I mean, is there any other way to deal with what is a horrible culture in youth movements on college campuses right now? And can we analyze where this came from? And can we be honest about it? That would be interesting. That would be a lot more. I mean, you're talking about getting to, you know, having a desire to get to the root of a problem that has brought Middle Eastern sectarian violence over here to the U.S. and all throughout cities in Europe. Okay, we have transplanted this stuff here to the U.S. and it is now the only option that we have to combating it is to shut down speech.
You know what I wonder? Is this going to be applied to Hasidic Jews living in New York who are anti-Zionist, who frequently will like protest and speak against the Israeli regime and what they're doing over there? I mean, because I mean, their actions under the guise of this bill could be, you know, considered classic anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I guess that would be a checkmate. That'd be a checkmate right there. Yeah, it's somebody in the chat says, can Jews criticize each other?
Yeah. Evidently not.
It sucks.
Stop asking questions, bigot.
No. It's all so silly and dangerous.
All right. I have completely ignored my responsibilities as host here. We do have sponsors that I have not touched yet. So why don't I go ahead and take care? We'll just go run through all of these real fast. And I do really appreciate all of our sponsors, starting with Goldco. Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported a critical issue, the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts while the Democrats lean towards letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But fear not, there's a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for up to 10% back in bonus silver, but hurry, supplies are limited. Don't leave your financial future to chance. Act now to diversify and shield your savings against the uncertainties ahead. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny. And then we got a message from Mike Lindell in MyPillow.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Hey, I'm Dan Lyons, and I'm a personal trainer. The globalists have used specific chemicals in our food, and these chemicals do two things. Number one, they destroy our ability to create cellular energy from the food that we eat. So this means now we're eating food and we're storing the food as body fat instead of burning the food for fuel. And number two, these chemicals destroy fatty acid beta oxidation, which is our body's own mechanism of burning body fats. So this is why no one can lose weight. Do you remember how easy it was for you to lose weight when you were in your early 20s? What if I told you that you could get that back? I created a comprehensive online course for patriots who want to lose weight and fix their metabolism. You can find me at badlandsmedia.tv/trainer. Enter the promo code BADLANDS and receive 20% off. Reclaim your metabolism today.
In today's fast-paced world, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Badlands Media steps in. Preparing for life's uncertainties is about being ready for anything, right where you are. Welcome to the Badlands Media Shop, We've partnered with Patriot companies offering products that empower you to prepare for any eventuality comfortably from your home. The Badlands Media Shop has everything you need to secure your peace of mind. Browse the virtual aisles. Prepare your family for the year ahead with products you can trust from companies that share your values. Whether it's growing your own food or prepping long-term storage, protecting your family, or stocking up on emergency supplies, we've got you covered. Get prepared. Visit Badlands Media Shop at badlandsmedia.tv/shop today. Every purchase supports a freedom-loving business as well as Badlands Media. That's badlandsmedia.tv/shop. Thank you for your continued support.
All right. Thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to all of you out there who continue to support the sponsors. Wherever you're watching, make sure you hit the like button, the thumbs up, the red pill repost, share the links, all that good stuff, especially those of you watching on Badlands Media. Make sure you guys hit that thumbs up button. It's most important over there when you guys do that. So really appreciate everyone who helps us out by hitting that thumbs up button for us. I don't know if you guys saw this story. This was something that I thought was kind of interesting. It's in Louisiana. There was a group of people that basically seceded from their city and created their own city. Did you guys see this at all?
No.
I did. Yes. Yeah,
this was interesting. So residents in Louisiana's Democrat-run capital city have won a historic battle to secede and create their own city following a lengthy court battle. As the New York Times reported, the Louisiana Supreme Court cleared the way on Friday for a group of mostly white affluent residents of Baton Rouge to secede and form the new city of St. George. This is the first city incorporated in the Pelican State in almost two decades. In the 4-3 ruling, the justices found that lower courts were wrong in blocking St. George's creation over concerns of its financial viability. Andrew Merle, one of the leaders of the St. George movement, released the following statement after the Louisiana Supreme Court decision. He says, "This is the culmination of citizens exercising their constitutional rights. We voted and we won. Whether you are for or you are against St. George, now is your opportunity, a historic opportunity to create a city from the beginning, from the group up. It's your ideas, it's your policies, it's your way of life. And now you can come together and put those out there and have someone accountable to you. Now we begin the process of delivering on our promise of a better city. We welcome both our friends and foes to the table to create St. George."
That's awesome. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess basically it was a nicer area that I guess got sick of being lumped in with the rest of the precinct or whatever. And they wanted to create their own rules, their own structure, their own school districts and
their own police.
Yeah, their own beliefs and
police, I mean.
Their own police, yeah. Absolutely. Let me see. So
I mean, this is the ultimate culmination of democratic mismanagement in large blue cities. There's always going to be a significant group of people who don't agree with the way that city is being run. And all it takes, obviously, is for them to come together and demand that something else happen. Taking over that sovereignty, becoming their own government, initiating this new city, it's amazing. Think about how badly the government of Baton Rouge understands how they have screwed this up. All of their tax revenue is gone, all right? They're going to take that money, and they're now going to funnel it into creating their own competent government, and it's going to be a brand new day there.
Oh, wait, so how much of
hundreds of millions.
Yeah, that's so, how much that this little place, this St. George now generates?
I'm sorry. $48 million. For some reason, I thought it was $248 million, but it's $48 million. That's still a good chunk.
How much does that constitute in the of the overall Baton Rouge income?
I'm not sure, but it's a lot.
It doesn't say in this.
Hey, listen, $48 million is a large amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the New York Post notes that Sharon Weston Broom, the mayor president who leads the combined Baton Rouge and East Baton Rouge parish governments, previously sued the St. George organizers. She whined that the secession would suck more than $48 million in yearly tax revenue from the local government.
Oh,
Yeah, St. George will be Louisiana's sixth largest city in terms of population, with nearly 100,000. St. George will likely be a GOP stronghold as well, given its heavily white population in 2020. White Louisiana supported President Trump by a 77-22 margin, while Black supported Joe Biden 88% to 10%. While Broome committed to serving the residents of St. George following the vote, others fumed. The local NAACP released a statement slamming the new town and warning the development would negatively impact Baton Rouge's education system and community representation. And here's the quote: "The St. George plan poses a significant risk to our education system, threatens the continuity of critical programs, and challenges community representation. The creation of a new municipality introduces considerable uncertainty around funding allocations for our schools, jeopardizing the cornerstone of our community's future in education." So they're mad that they can't tax a certain demographic and give it to another demographic is essentially what I'm reading here. And I guess people have had enough of their money being extorted from them and mismanaged to a point where they said, fuck it, we're out. We're creating our own city. And we're not dealing with that anymore. Good for them.
I didn't know that. I mean, here it's making news right now. I didn't even see it happening that Nick Fuentes came back to Twitter.
I did not see that.
They just reinstated him. It shouldn't be, you know, one at a time. Whoever has the most friends and can petition Elon Musk in the notifications. I wish they could be a little bit more just like, bring everybody back unless they actually committed a real crime. But you know, we're talking about it here today. What's a crime and speech and
how long before Nick Fuentes actually commits a crime now that they passed this anti-Semitism legislation? I mean, they might have just brought him back just so they could arrest somebody.
Yeah, I'm not much of a Nick Fuentes fan, but the way that he's been treated has been completely ridiculous. I mean, the censorship alone is one thing. This dude's on a no-fly list, guys. Like, he can't get on an airplane. Like, he's some kind of threat to anyone's safety. I mean, that to me is where it gets to the point of absurdity, is when he starts getting put on the no-fly list and things like that.
Yeah. So I don't know if he is back, but I just saw Elon Musk said, fine, you can come back. That was only like 2 hours ago or so. But I just brought that up only because of what we did, what we had just talked about with Congress. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I'm glad he is. I mean, if Elon Musk is going to claim to be a free speech advocate, he can't keep people like Nick Fuentes off the platform. You need to allow, if you're free speech, it means you're free speech, and you have to allow even the stuff you find to be most unpalatable, especially the stuff you find to be most unpalatable, to run just as free as anything else on the platform.
Well, I mean, if that legislation passes in the Senate as it did in the House, then there is no more free speech in America. I mean, as soon as you start legislating the words that people can say, then you have essentially neutered the First Amendment. You've stripped it of any power that it had to protect people from saying the things they want, no matter how despicable they might be.
I wonder how. I mean, I'm assuming this will be almost immediately challenged.
It better be. Yeah,
I'd be very curious to see what the Supreme Court does with this law. I'd have to hope that it would get shut down 9-0. But
I feel like this plays.
I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would actually vote against this one.
I think so too.
Because I forget which opinions she was given that she fell pretty consistently in line with some free speech issues, at least. I don't know.
You know, I feel like this is tracking pretty well with our government basically just taking their pants off and mooning us on a daily basis, you know, exposing themselves for just being completely against everything that America stands for. Like, I'm not out there, like, you know, begging to say things that are offensive, but I want to know that I have the freedom to do so without the threat of legal action. And I want to know more so that other people have the freedom to say it, because I think they should have the freedom to say it. You know, I mean, that's like a foundational to what this country was based upon. You know, I mean, there's a reason they put that first. You should be able to say things that are disgusting, and people in turn have the right to not listen to you, to walk away, or, you know, to just turn you off. And that's the only way it should be.
Do you think that Congress can issue an N-word pass? Like can they say now everybody can say the N-word? Like if they actually wrote that legislation up and passed it, would that make it okay?
I mean, I wouldn't be out there doing it, but I mean, if there's a legal precedence for it, I suppose that people certainly would.
Okay.
You know, can you imagine Mike Johnson? It's like skip ass. This is my son, Mike Jr. he's my Negro.
The debates would be amazing.
What would the act be called? Because they always have like these wonderful names for these different statues. Like, what would that act be called?
The brother from another mother. N-word pass act of 2024.
It could just be the N-word for all the N-word for everybody act. The N-word for everybody act 2024. It's no law. It's everybody's now. It's everybody's right.
Disempowering the N-word act or something like that. I don't know.
You know, I hope that things do go that crazy. I hope that we do go that ridiculous. It feels so. And I'll tell you something else as we close. When you got something going on in your personal life that's taking you away and really focusing on things that matter, like health, when you have people in your immediate life that are, you know, dealing with chronic issues, or something just happens out of nowhere, whether it be catastrophic or just whatever, you're dealing with something that hits close to home. It doesn't matter how crazy the headlines are. Nothing matters anymore. Nothing matters when your focus gets taken home. Everything else out there is just ridiculous. I wish nothing but clown world circus theatrics forever. I said, go ahead, take it all down. Because if things aren't right at home, then this is just a waste of spirit. It really is a waste of spirit.
You guys, I got to bounce because I got to start my countdown and I got to take a leak.
All right.
Have a good one, okay. Man. Hope everything comes out all right.
I'm sure it will. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye, everyone. I'm live in 5 minutes. Peace.
Take care.
Go check him out. Zach Payne at redpill78news.com. And he always goes live at 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So yeah, get that lined up and ready to go. Frank, what do you got going on Quite Frankly tonight, man?
I've got in the first half, I've got Brooks Agnew coming on, scientist, master engineer. We got a lot of great things we've talked about over the last however many years. Going to ask him some nagging questions I have about HAARP and directed energy weapons. And in the second half of the show, I have a brief appearance by Ashton Forbes, who's coming back to give the latest on the Malaysia Flight 370 saga that he's right at the epicenter of. And so it should be a good show tonight. And tomorrow for Friday, I got a good buddy of mine coming on. His name is Vinny Brusco. We go back very many years, and he just opened up a social club for men over here in our neck of the woods in New York. And I think it'd be a really good night just to figure out some topics that are just, you know, chicken soup for the soul kind of things to reset and have some fun and talk about the good things in life. So I invite you all over, quitefrankly.tv at 7 p.m. And the show starts all over the place. So whether it be Rumble or whatever the hell else, I'll see you wherever the hell you are at 7 o'clock.
Awesome, man. Frank, thank you so much. As always, I love our Thursdays.
Peace, brother. If you want to play some, MLB The Show tonight, let me know.
I should be around actually. So hit me up when you're done with your show.
Yeah. And it will be broad. I will stream it.
Oh, cool. Cool. So, do you get a headset so we can chat?
I have a headset.
Rock on. All right, cool. Let's do it.
All right. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Frankie Val of the Quite Frankly Show, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. at quitefrankly.tv. He's all over the place and one of the very, very best out there. Both of those guys, Zach Payne, Frankie Val, legends in the alt media
And yeah, absolute pleasure to do business with them once a week. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out. My name is Adel Nero. My channel is 412 Productions. I'd love to earn your follow. Talking to the fam over there on Badlands Media. 412 Productions on Rumble, Pill.net, DLive, CloudHub, Odyssey. And then I'm at 412Anon87 on Twitter. And you can find me on True Social at 412. Thank you guys so much for hanging out and being part of Taking It Back today. Hit that thumbs up button, hit that red pill button, share and repost the links wherever you can. And I want to say some thank yous to those of you who have been donating over in the comfy bunker on pill.net. Floyd with a Tucking It Back cookie. Thank you, Floyd. Paul Thaddeus and Boys Blanc with a couple cookies as well. Thank you, guys. Filter Dog One says the gang is all together. It's so good to get the gang all back together. It was, what, I think almost like a month or so since we were able to do this show. So definitely enjoyed today's little reunion. Floyd says, cheers to the crew. Cheers to you, Floyd. Appreciate it. Tweety 52, thank you for the cookie. M the Painter is making my presence known. It's great to see you, M the Painter. Thank you for the donation. Sean Joe, Bella 214, thank you for the cookie. Filter Dog One says, cannot talk about Jew tunnels. well, we might have like a week or two until the bill passes the Senate and inevitably gets signed into law by Joe Biden. But I don't know. I'd hope the Supreme Court would strike this thing down in short order. It's complete absurdity. Loop the Loop in Ohio. Kimmy, cheers to you both. Thank you for the cans. Target Driver says, I studied Arabic. Arabic is a Semitic language. I hated it. Am I anti-Semitic? No, I don't think so, but I don't know. All these words are nonsense spells that are meant to divide and confuse. And yeah, anyway, but thank you guys for all the cans. Bella 214, cheers. Thank you as well. And then Floyd says, cheers. Another great show. Thank you, Floyd. I really appreciate everyone who supported and donated, hung out, red pilled, shared the links. You guys are amazing. Again, I'm at 412 Productions. If you want to come give me a follow, find me on Twitter at 412Anon87. Otherwise, we'll be back next week for another Taking It Back on Badlands. Or you can come check me out tomorrow on 412 Productions at 4 p.m. Eastern time for Deplorable Discussions. I'll have my OG crew, Drunk Pinata and Tennessee Homesteader, both with me. And I think Maxinon of RiseAttireUSA.com is going to be on the show as well. All right, guys, that's going to do it for Frankie Val, the Quite Frankly Show, QuiteFrankly.tv, and then Zach Payne of Red Pill 78, RedPill78News.com. Again, my name is Adel Nero. This has been Taking It Back, a 412 production syndicated by our great friends over at Badlands Media. You guys have an amazing rest of your Thursday, and we'll catch you guys all on the next one. Bye, everybody.